Hello, I'm Dr. Kylie Fisher. Welcome to Heavenly Harmonies. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 18 says, "Thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else." God's original purpose for this world was that it be filled with true love, joy, and beauty. Satan has tried his best to thwart God's plan by leading human beings astray. But his reign of deception, coercion, and terror on this earth is nearly ended. Soon our world will be cleansed of the curse of sin and will become forever not only the home of the redeemed, but the very place where God's throne will be located. How will this happen? Our song for today points us to this glorious time. Stay with me to discover how the song "Shall We Gather at the River" can keep you near to the heart of God. Gather at the river where bright angel feet have trod, with its crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. On the margin of the river, washing up its silver spray, we will walk and worship ever all the happy golden day. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Ere we reach the shining river, lay we every burden down. Grace our spirits will deliver and provide a robe and crown. Soon we'll reach the shining river. Soon our pilgrimage will cease. Soon our happy hearts will quiver with the melody of peace. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Wow, it's going to be an absolutely amazing experience, and it is going to be a beautiful world. So we have been tracing in this season of Heavenly Harmonies through the Great Controversy Conflict, and we have been doing this in song. And yeah, so what a journey it has been from the, standing here in this our day and looking back to and thinking about how we are living in such climactic times. We are living in the time of climax of this great controversy that began approximately 6,000 years ago in heaven, when that beautiful angel, the highest of all the angels, rebelled against God. And he deceived angels through his lies and through his misrepresentations of God's character. He also deceived human beings. But God developed a plan, God put into action the plan that he already had in place before the foundation of the world and from all eternity past, put into action the plan of salvation. So Christ came to earth. He himself braved the temptations of Satan, and he showed us how we can be victorious in the conflict in life. And we've then traced through, centuries of persecution and the the hiding of God's word. But we saw that through the influence of the Reformation, the Bible was restored to the people, and the important truths that concern our salvation, particularly at this time in Earth's history, the doctrine of the Second Advent and the doctrine of the sanctuary that shows us how to prepare for the Second Advent. These truths came to new light, and old truths were rediscovered, new truths that had never before been known came to light, and the vital importance of keeping God's law of 10 commandments, and particularly the seventh-day Sabbath, came to view with the opening of that second apartment into the heavenly sanctuary. So that's where Christ currently is ministering, but we looked at last episode how there will come a time when Christ's work in there will finish. There'll be a terrible time of trouble on earth, but notice what the Bible says about God's people in that time and from that time. So Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 7. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 7. So this time is spoken of in the Bible as the time of trouble. It's spoken of as a time of great trouble, a time of trouble with unprecedented extent. It's also called in this verse, Jeremiah 30 and verse 7, is also called the time of Jacob's trouble. So Jeremiah 30 verse 7, alas, for that day is great so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but notice what will happen to the righteous, represented by Jacob. He shall be saved out of it. So Jacob, if you look in the book of Genesis, Jacob and Esau were twins. They were born as twins, and both actually did wrong things. They both actually were sinful, but Jacob truly repented of his sin. And yet, you know, because of his sin, his brother Esau, whom Jacob cheated out of the birthright, which was rightfully Esau's, being the eldest, Esau was absolutely furious about this. And there was one particular night when he was marching on Jacob with the intent to kill him. Esau had 400 men, 400 trained soldiers with him, and Jacob was just, you know, had his family there. His party was alone and defenseless. And so this story is told in Genesis chapter 32 and starting at verse 24. Genesis 32 and starting at verse 24 up to 32. And so Jacob sent his family away. He sent them over this brook while he remained there to pray. So it says in verse 24, Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. This time of wrestling is what's referred to in Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 7, the time of Jacob's trouble. That time when Jacob was wrestling, he actually was wrestling with God, we find out. That time of wrestling represents and symbolizes the experience of the righteous during this time of trouble. During that time of trouble, they will be wrestling with God, and they certainly have had to make it a habit to trust in God before the time of trouble. You know, Jacob in his life, he had genuinely repented of his sin before he came up to this terrible crisis. He had, though he had weaknesses and failings, he had made it a habit to trust in God. And so the righteous at this time in Earth's history, they will need to already have developed that close relationship with God. No point waiting until that great crisis to develop that relationship, you know. But if we walk faithfully with God every day, He will lead us through, you know, different points of testing and trial that will develop our character so that we are prepared to stand during that terrible and fearful time. But, you know, even those who have been walking with God, their character will be severely tested during this time of trouble. It will be like the fire that refines the gold. And as it says in Job, when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And so the righteous will come forth from that experience with an even closer relationship with Christ. But as it says in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, their characters will be refined, but it says he shall be saved out of it. The righteous will finally be saved, you know, and mentioned last episode, or was it this episode? I don't know. Anyway, I did mention it last episode, that there will be a death decree, finally, against those who continue to keep God's law, and particularly the seventh day Sabbath of the fourth commandment. That is actually the seal of God's law. And so there's first they won't be able to buy or sell, but eventually there will be this death decree enacted. And at just the very moment, you know, that even the righteous themselves will actually begin to fear that God has forgotten about them. The wicked will be taunting them with all this sort of thing. Why doesn't God come and save you if you truly are his people? And just at that very moment, when the very point of crisis, when God's people are about to be destroyed by the wicked, Christ will come and he will appear at that very moment and he will save them. So let's read about, there's so many verses about the second coming in the Bible. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 16 and 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 16 and 17. It says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. So yeah, there's such a comforting truth that God himself will come and ultimately he will save us. Let's read a few more verses about this. Psalm chapter 50 and verses 3 and 4. Psalm chapter 50 and verses 3 and 4. Let's notice what this says. Psalm chapter 50, verses 3 and 4. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. And so the King of Kings will descend upon a beautiful and a glorious cloud. He will be wrapped in flaming fire. The heavens will be rolled together as a scroll. The earth will tremble before him, and every mountain and island will be moved out of their place. It describes that actually in Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, yes, which we read in previous episodes. And so Christ will, come to earth. And so amid the reeling of the earth, the flash of lightning and the roar of thunder, the voice of the Son of God will call forth the sleeping saints. That's what we read in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. How the Lord himself would descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So we have a tremendous shout because it's going to raise the dead. Literally, the dead, all those who have died serving Christ, will be raised to life, and the living righteous will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And so at the voice of God, they will be glorified, then they will be made immortal, and with the risen saints, they will be caught up to meet their Lord in the air. So what a wonderful thing that is. And I lost my place in 1 Thessalonians, so I went to the other verse. As it says, verse 17, the end of the verse, so shall we ever be with the Lord. So what will happen at this time, we understand, is that the righteous will be taken to heaven, which is actually a real place, and they will be taken to beautiful city up there, which is the New Jerusalem. This will be their home for 1,000 years. The New Jerusalem is then to come down to earth. Let's read about this because this was seen in prophetic vision by John, Revelation chapter 21. Let's begin at verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. So ultimately, there will be a judgment of the wicked, and the wicked will be destroyed. There will not be an eternally burning hell where the wicked will be suffering through all eternity, and we'll notice that in a few verses as we read down. But this fire that destroys those who persistently, who knowingly reject Christ and reject God and would not even be happy in heaven, actually. That fire that destroys them will purify the earth of sin and all traces of the curse. And so this is the new heaven and the new earth that John sees in the vision. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Notice verse 2, Revelation 21 and verse 2. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, notice something very significant in verse 3. So we said in the introduction, and we read Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 18. And so God's original purpose for the earth was for it to be inhabited. And as we said, Satan has tried to stop God's purpose, but it's futile. When God purposes something, you just cannot stop it. You are just actually wasting your time and your energy. I had not planned to read this verse, but let's just notice Daniel. Daniel chapter 4. Let's notice what King Nebuchadnezzar, one who thought that he could foil the purposes of God, notice what King Nebuchadnezzar says. In Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35, this chapter actually was written by King Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he, that is God, doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? So, you know, God's purposes will be fulfilled. If we choose that we're going to reject God, he will find another way. You know, he's the one who created all creation. And if we, you know, if we don't speak the words that God gives us, the rocks will cry out. That's what Jesus said in Matthew. When the Pharisees said to Jesus, when all the children were praising him, they said, Master, tell them to be quiet. Jesus said, if these should hold their peace, the rocks would cry out. So, you know, through whatever means, God's purposes will be fulfilled, and his purpose for this earth was that it will be, that it was to be inhabited, and through the choice of those who, well, through the sacrifice of Christ and through those who choose to respond to that, God's purpose will finally be fulfilled. And so this world will be inhabited, but it will be inhabited, as we were saying, not only by human beings, but notice what it says in verse 3, Revelation 21, verse 3. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. So God himself will actually, his throne will be on this earth. What an amazing privilege. You know, it's sometimes it can be tempting when we're on this earth and suffering and struggling through, you know, trial after trial. And we just sort of wish that I'd been born an angel or something. You didn't have to suffer through all of this, or created an angel. But you know, what a tremendous privilege is ours to experience the trials and sufferings that Christ had to experience, and then our little world, the one dark blot in all of God's glorious universe, it's to be not only ransomed, is not only to be saved, but it's to be exalted. And it will be the home of God and of his saved people all through eternal ages. Verse 4, notice verse 4, this is a beautiful verse. Revelation chapter 21 verse 4 says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Verse 5, he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. So these words are true and faithful. Let's come over to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 1. And this speaks more particularly about the key point, I guess, that's emphasized in our song, which is this beautiful river that is in heaven. So John himself saw this river in vision. Revelation 22 verse 1 says, it's an angel that's showing John all of these things. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now, it says actually in the song that the river flows by the throne of God. I wonder if that should be from the throne of God, or if our understanding of the word by should mean in the sense of that the river is by the throne, as in the throne is like the cause, it's the origin of the river. Bit of a technicality there. But this river, it says clearly in Revelation that it proceeds out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. So it flows from the throne of God. So that's, heaven is just such an amazing place. I just really encourage you to read Revelation 21 and 22, such beautiful passages to read when you're so down. And this book that I keep talking about, The Great Controversy, and read the last chapter. It's so encouraging. And so many promises and beautiful description of this beautiful land that God is, this beautiful new world that God will recreate when he creates that new heavens, new earth. I'd like to finish with some verses just before we listen to Fountain View. I'm going to listen to Fountain View, sing this beautiful song. Some verses from Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 13 says, these, which is speaking about the heroes of faith that are mentioned in the chapter in Hebrews 11, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So, you know, the last verse of our song said, soon our pilgrimage will cease. So Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they all said they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. We're strangers and pilgrims too. But soon our pilgrimage will cease. Verse 14 says, they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. They desire a better country than this world, that is an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Friends, God has prepared a beautiful, a literal city. Some people wonder, is heaven a real place? Heaven is a real place. It is a real place where God is living now. But heaven ultimately will be located here on this earth. This earth will be a paradise, the paradise that God intended for it to be right from the beginning. God's purposes will be fulfilled. His purposes of love. Good will finally triumph over evil. So I hope that you can meditate on these things while we listen to this beautiful hymn, Shall We Gather at the River?
Shall we gather at the river where bright angel feet have trod, with its crystal tide forever flowing by the throne?
Revelation chapter 22 verse 17 says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." God is offering us the water of life today and the opportunity to be at that beautiful river. Would you like to bow with me in prayer? Dear Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful invitation. May we respond to it today. We are so grateful for your amazing promises, your love, power, and wisdom, that good will finally triumph. May we be amongst those on that day, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining me today on Heavenly Harmonies. Do join me again to find out more about these amazing truths in the Bible. But until then, may you stay near to the heart of God through song.